For all your concrete needs, call TNT Concrete. They do basements, flat work, retaining walls, and more. Call 270-339-4949.
Coach Thompson, the longer you go in the playoffs, the tougher it gets. Everybody knows that. And teams don't give up. And we think we deliver a knockout punch to Bethlehem with a big third quarter. And then, boom, here they come again.
Yeah, one thing I told the team at the beginning of the week was, you know, from here on out, every team that you play can beat you. And, you know, I think that the year we've had, the kids kind of took that for granted this week going in with Bethlehem's record and who they play, who they lost to, and how they beat Fulton County. You know, a lot of things played into that. And I just don't think that we were where we needed to be. It wasn't necessarily that they were discounting the team, but it was more that they just weren't focused in on the task at hand, more that they were nervous or wound up and too excited.
Right.
So some things happened, but we were able to get a good hard-fought game in, a battle before. We know another big hard-fought battle coming this week, and we held on, and we live to play another week.
Well, 33-27 victory, the Rockets over Bethlehem at home, and I agree with you. I think even the community, the fans, you know, people were talking about, oh, it'll be a running clock in the second quarter. And, you know, I just kind of zipped my lips because these teams, when you get this, if you advance this far, you've got something going right, whether, you know, you're barely beating Fulton County or, but they didn't let Fulton County score either, talking about Bethlehem. But yeah, it's, the next week will be no different when we go to Campbellsville. But this Bethlehem team is one we know that doesn't give up. We've seen it twice.
Yeah,
so
definitely. Mm-hmm. You just look at the film watching them beforehand. We knew that they were going to come out and play hard. And we just knew we had to match that physicality. That was one of the things we preached all week. And like I said, after the game, I felt like we did match it at times. But we had to come out and do that. And that was where we were lacking.
Well, you punch them in the mouth third quarter, and you think it's over, it's 33-7, and then all of a sudden, did that meltdown at Bardstown come through your mind at all?
I actually didn't feel that way to the last onside kick that we recovered.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, oh my goodness.
If we lose this one, you think.
We don't get this ball back.
Because there was a moment we didn't know whose ball it was.
Yeah, and in my head, we had stopped them in the whole quarter, so if they got the ball back, with that much time left, I felt like it happened again. So it's hard to react in that moment, but it did cross my mind.
I'm sure everybody that knew anything about that game 2 years ago, because it went in a very similar way. And, I mean, we had just dominated that game, and then all of a sudden the coin flipped. And this was a very interesting football game because of the ebb and flow in it. And sometimes I just felt like maybe the officiating may not have been of the quality that you expect in a playoff game.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of personal foul penalties. So it was a hard fought game out there on the field.
Definitely, both teams were fighting. You know, there's some calls that were made that whether they're right or wrong, they were in very, very, very important times of the game. You know, it really affected the momentum of the game. So, you know, you can't sit here on a Monday and say that officiating had anything to do with that game, because if we come out and play in the first half, who knows what happens. You know, that officiating doesn't control how we come out and play football. So what it comes down to is just us make sure we come out and be our best self from the jump.
Right. And, of course, the way the ball bounces sometimes and the calls that are made, and we had 120 yards of penalties and just a lot of things, you know, that we overcame.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, you know, we needed a test like this. And I know I saw your Uncle Mark Williams come up to you right after the game and say, you needed this.
Yeah, and he's right. We did need it because, I mean, that's the first time we have been behind at the half. That's the first time I had to go in at halftime and talk to them about fighting just to get back in the game. You know, even Caldwell, we were up at half.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, the guys responded and they came out and did what they had to do to win. And even though it was kind of ugly, really, when you think about it, it's a win. We achieved our goal and we get to play again and they're sitting at home.
Let's talk a little bit about your players of the week. Cade McAllister, fresh back from his injury, had a great game. Defensive player of the week, 5 solos, 3 assists. A sack and an interception, not a bad night.
Yeah, Caden, you know, he amazes me just to think about what his years been, you know, getting knocked out week three, I guess, Caldwell, week four. Mm-hmm. Caldwell game is the last game he plays in. He comes back here, last game of the season, and has just been on fire since. And he continued that this past Friday. He just flies around and he makes plays. You know, a kid like that, you know you can depend on it. You look at him. It's one thing Coach Courtney said to me this weekend. You know, you look at him, you see that fire in his eye, like the first time that he got the start against Caldwell a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, so just being a young freshman flying around, just looking for the opportunity, that fire is back, and you can see it on the field. So, you know, he comes through and makes a lot of big plays for us, and we'll continue to use him defensively.
Great game for Braxton Winders, 5 solos, 2 assists, and a tackle for loss. He's Mr. Dependable every week, isn't he?
Mr. Consistent. You know, he makes a lot of plays for us. And you know, he could make a lot more plays, you know, once he starts playing downhill all the time. You know, sometimes you see those flashes of greatness, and we're just looking to get that from him all the time.
Mm-hmm. Lathan Easley and Gavin Dickerson also pretty nice games on defense. But talk about Hunter Jones. It seems like he was, of course, he didn't show, he plays in the secondary, he doesn't show, but he seemed like there were some big plays that he made in pass defense at big points.
Yeah, Hunter is Mr. Dependable. He's always where he's supposed to be at, does his job every play. You never have to worry about him missing an assignment. One thing that he takes away from opposing teams is their screen game with what he does and where he plays. And he forces teams to be just two-dimensional. You know how we add success to our offense by being able to throw screens and then be able to throw the ball and run the ball. He takes that away because he's so great at reading and reacting when those screens are in. So he's in Bethlehem was like us. They like to run screens, and he took that away from them. So just to have him out there and know he's going to do his job is huge for our defense. And Coach Courtney loves it. I know he talks about it every week.
Mm-hmm. Player of the week on offense was Devin Nesbitt, 22 carries, 170 yards. You know, you've just come to expect this out of him. So talk about him, but also talk about Xander Tabor, because you brought him in there in the third quarter and just kind of changes the speed of the game for a minute or, you know, whatever, a different punch.
Yeah, well, you know, Nesbitt, we expect him to come out and have a big game every week because all it takes is a little seam and he can make it a big play. We started slow offensively, you know, and he finally hit one down the sideline and kind of got us going a little bit right there before the half.
Let me ask you this. This is my perspective on that, because when he went down that opposite sideline over there, it appeared to me he found a gear that I have not seen.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that he has another gear past that.
Well,
he has another one past that.
Oh, my goodness. I was standing there with Coach Starnes, and I said, wow, I've never seen that gear. And, you know, I was looking at it like,
Yeah, he has another one past that for sure. He's just fast. He doesn't know how fast he is. And, you know, he'll probably put on a few pounds here the next couple of years, and hopefully he gets the opportunity to continue playing, but he'll put on a few pounds to be even faster. So he's a special talent. He's an athlete, and he makes the big plays for us. He makes the explosive plays. So then after the half, you know, okay, so at me as a defensive coach trying to stop us, okay, right now you got to stop Nesbitt.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stop Nesbitt.
Yeah.
So by doing that, we go to two-back set, get that extra blocker. It didn't change what they were doing defensively. It gave us an extra blocker. But then we also played it with X-Man, putting them both on the field at the same time. So then you can just read just by how they line up where their extra guy is, and we can go either way, because I feel like X is a very capable back, just the same as Nesbitt is, and can make big plays.
Made some great runs.
Definitely, yes.
And really lost a possible touchdown there on a great run, too.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell on film if it's a good call or not. All I know is if the ball crosses the plane, it doesn't matter if he drops it after that, as long as he has possession crossing the plane. And on film, I can't say whether he did or he didn't. On Friday night, I couldn't. That's why I didn't act a fool after that call. You know, there's no point, because I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I was standing probably on about the 2-yard line, looking almost straight down the line, and when it came out, I thought, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So my first reaction was fumble.
Yeah.
So.
Well, for me, it's
hard to tell from where you're at.
You can't put that in the official's hands.
No. Yeah, right. Hold on to the ball the whole way.
Put that in the official's hands.
That's
you
right.
Go through, finish the run.
Finish the run. And on your lineman of the week, you had two guys, two great performances in there.
Yeah. We went with Ian Ellington, had three roaches this week, out there, you know, recovering from the knees, playing, coming through big for us. He put in a big load Friday night, played a little bit more than we probably expected him to. But, you know, he's in there and he's making plays and he felt comfortable. And then also Jake Gibson, who's just Mr. Consistent on our line up front. And was putting a lot of blocks downfield, a lot of big runs to stretch. He's the one that broke the stretch in the first half with Nesbitt and later in the game. He's just been consistent. They play next to each other. A year ago, Coach Starnes started a right side, left side thing, and they're the right side. And when they're together, we're usually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But another performance on the line I want to point out is Brock. You know, the reason Brock didn't get that, the lineman of the week this week, because he did have a lineman of the week performance, is probably just because of the penalties that came along with
penalties
that throughout the game. Whether they were good penalties or bad penalties, they were penalties. But what he's bringing to us offensively and defensively now is big for our team, and it's just another dynamic that we have, him being able to play both sides of the ball. So,
and you're able to bump Lathan out there and let him get to the quarterback out that way, son.
Yeah, definitely. Which helped Lathan because these guys are big, so if they got a hand on him, he kind of struggled to get off of it, even being so much faster than them. So,
well, we did a much better job second half of getting the pressure, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Another bit of news that came out today was Hunter Boone is a two-time Player of the Year, Class A First District. So tickled to death for Hunter. Very well deserved.
Yeah, definitely. Hunter worked his butt off this offseason. You see his body's trimmed. And he's added a new dynamic to his game, being able to run the ball for us. He's just a special player. He's one that, as a coach, as an offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, that you don't get many opportunities to coach a kid like that. So, you know, it's been a great 4 years to be here for his whole high school career, be his coach. You know, I'm going to miss him. You know, having a quarterback like that, someone that can bail you out when you make that decision.
Yeah.
You know. So, it's just big congratulations to him and his family.
Yeah, awesome job. Wonderful, wonderful young man, a gentleman, and again, so deserving the hard work that he's put in, and we're just so proud of him as a community. That great role model. All right, Coach Thompson, I hope you have a good week of practice, and let's get ready to go up to Campbellsville, and we'll talk about that on the webcast on Thursday. It's going to be an exciting week for Rockets football.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Well, we have with us today Coach Dale Estes of the Campbellsville Eagles. Coach Estes, tell us about your football team, and you've had a great year.
Yes, sir, we have. Got a good group of young boys. You know, they play hard for us on practice hard, play hard every Friday night.
Tell us a little bit about the Russellville game. It looked like it was pretty close. We were following the score and pretty close first half, but then y'all just took it away from them second half.
It was. I mean, I think it was 19-6 at halftime, but we had four touchdowns called back first half.
Oh.
So that's something that don't show up in the stat sheets and whatever and things, you know, for whatever reasons, holding penalties or whatever. And, you know, I won't get into all that. It is what it is, but we very easily could have been up like 40-6 at halftime. But we had four touchdowns called back. And, you know, when our kids went in halftime, we kind of regrouped, settled down a little bit, told them we need to eliminate those penalties, whether they were right calls or wrong calls or whatever. That's indifferent. You know, we just need to go out and make sure that we do our things right and eliminate those penalties. Don't give them that opportunity. And we came out in the third quarter and just, you know, bang, 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 took it right to them and, you know, tried to put the game away. And once we did that, you know, the rest was fourth quarter. We, you know, was able to sub some people in to make sure we could get to you guys healthy this week.
Well, we appreciate Coach Estes taking a little time to talk with us today for the podcast. You can hear more of my interview with the Campbellsville coach on the Thursday webcast. Don't forget, that's the pregame and coaches show, and that will be broadcast on YouTube on Thursday as usual. And you can follow the links from Facebook, the Crittenden Press website, Twitter. All those links will bring you back to the coaches show and pregame show. Appreciate all these opportunities to bring you Rocket football this year, and want to thank TNT Concrete for sponsoring today's podcast.